dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the SVC Sports Talk, brought to us by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. This is our second show of Season 9. I think it's show 255. And like I said, brought to us by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, 740-773-7529. Of course, for all kinds of detailed information, look them up, TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com, and they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. We appreciate their continued support of this here podcast. Speaking of this here podcast, we want to bring in our gentlemen who will do most of the talking tonight, because they are the soothsayers of SVC Sports. First, the young Mr. John Bruce. John, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Not feeling that young, but I'm doing pretty well overall. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing very well. You mentioned to me earlier before we started taping, you just got back from a weekend whirlwind tour of the Windy City, in fact, and went to both the Cubs game and the Sox game. So no wonder you're feeling a little, you know, down and out, maybe a little bit, or probably just tired, we hope.
Yeah, I am wiped out. Yep. But I'm excited to get back in the studio and talk SEC sports. I was pleasantly surprised by the White Sox Park.
Really?
I will like to say that. Yeah. I know what the Cubs Park has.
Mm-hmm.
But the White Sox Park, I had always heard like negatives about it. And maybe it was because of the day game. But it was pretty nice overall. Good fan experience.
Glad you enjoyed your weekend up there in Chicago. We're glad to have you back in the studio with us. And us being myself and, of course, our big kahuna of SVC Sports, Mr. Shane Combs. How are you, Shane?
I'm doing great, guys. It is fun to be back at it. I tell you, it's crazy. You forget sometimes over the summer. You know, I'm out at all the games this week and doing a lot of things, and the fan feedback is just phenomenal. I can't say enough. I think that's really my favorite part, is throughout the week just talking to people about the show and about different topics and so forth. The feedback on the show is just so positive, and it's almost overwhelming at times. Just really appreciative of that. And I think we have a great show here, guys. I mean, I look down through the agenda. I mean, obviously, we'll have a Crown Hill Golf Club segment and some great golf discussion. Obviously, Crown Hill Golf Club, we appreciate all their support. Their information's there on the website, and Bruce will give them some shout-outs throughout the night as well. But that great golf discussion, pace of play, is something that comes from the PGA down to the high school level, and it's really even kind of kicked over into some other sports, and really anxious to get that discussion going and see what kind of feedback we get. North Fork Animal Clinic, they'll sponsor our football segment tonight, talking about some of the popularity of the football, talk about some of the things we missed. But North Fork Animal Clinic with Blake and all that he does there, incredible support. We mentioned Advanced Services being with us this year. They'll be mentioned in our volleyball segment tonight. We had incredible volleyball feedback. Some of our volleyball fans are some of our heaviest listeners and really enjoy the show, and I enjoy talking to them. But we'll get some feedback, and I don't know if we'll get to all of it, but we'll certainly try if I can, speaking of Windy City, not be so windy, and yep. John can keep me on task there. But, that's kind of what I see on the agenda there, Bruce. So I'm real excited to get going.
All right. Well, I was going to give you an opportunity, Shane. I understand Paint Valley kind of being in the news a little bit this past week, and we had some feedback late in the week about that. You want to comment on that now?
Yeah, I don't mind comment. You know, a lot of people have asked me about that, and not just Paint Valley people, across the area, and I know that the website's had a lot of interest in this topic. I'll be honest, guys, professionally, I don't really have any comment on the article itself. I'm going to kind of leave that alone. Mm-hmm. I know media is media, and I'm going to kind of leave that alone. But I would like to comment on the topic itself, if that makes sense. Okay. You know, I guess from a Paint Valley perspective, I'm just extremely proud of Paint Valley for going all in on our facilities. I watched too many kids over the years kind of pull away and thinking there's something better out there. And I see kids go on to do a lot of great things at other schools. And, you know, obviously I'm all for kids and different things, but selfishly, I'd like to keep them at home. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I see former students. I just talked to a mom today, Cecilia Salamone, is out riding all over the country and doing some work at Penn State. And, you know, I see athletically a Dylan Swingle, Daniel Gardner, D1 athlete, and Taylor Baker, just, you know, had an education at an Ivy League school, Olivia Spradlin in the band at OSU, Michaela Newland, a Division I athlete, you know, the McFadden family with Anthony and Tegan playing college football, Leah, volleyball, Mackie McDonald playing baseball. I'm sure I'll forget someone, you know, yeah. How that goes, John, yeah. As you go through all the kids. But, like, yeah. I guess my point is from a Paint Valley perspective of why wouldn't you go all in on kids? Why shouldn't we challenge to have some of the nicest things out there? And what I've seen is it's an impact. You know, obviously football is going to get a lot of the attention, but, you know, I see a big benefit for our track kids, our band kids. I see the morale across the different ways. Gym class went out the other day. I had people telling me kids were taking selfies with the new scoreboard and stuff. They're proud of it. Why wouldn't they be? You know, so it's one of those things that I don't know that we need to apologize for anything. Sponsorship money is a part of a lot of different things in our extracurricular in our schools today. I just so I don't really have a direct comment on the article, but I certainly appreciate you giving me time here, Bruce, to talk about the topic itself.
No problem. No problem.
John, I don't know if you have a comment on it or not before we get started, but I know we have a busy agenda, but did you have a take on it?
Well, if you look at other schools around the area, they're getting sponsorship money for different things all the time. So why wouldn't you help? Why wouldn't you still try to get more help from the outside while you're supporting the kids? So I'm completely on board with you on this, Shane. I don't know why we're against supporting kids, or, you know, I had to look at it, really dig deep into it when there's nothing really to dig deep into.
Nah. And Bruce, I don't know, you know, your experience. Like, I know when my brother got down to Vinton County, it's about the time of the new school. I think new facilities and new things generate a lot of excitement. I don't know your take on that, but I feel like in a day and age where it's a lot of competition for kids and you're trying to keep your kids and you're trying to have the best, you know, what's wrong with going all in for kids?
No, I agree with you. I didn't see the article per se, so I don't really know, and I'm not going to stick a foot in my mouth, you know, even though you're giving me the opportunity. But I do know that nice facilities are good for everybody. And, you know, ongoing, there's always a chance for sponsorships. You know, you can always do something, put it in the fund, because there's lots of upkeep involved with some of that stuff too. And I'm sure that was thought through long, long ago when they decided to do this. So, hey guys, last week we got some feedback when we went with volleyball first that people seemed to like that. So let's do that again. And we had all kinds of feedback this week. What I'm going to do here, because we did get so much feedback, if it's okay with you guys, what I'll do is I'll read sort of the summations of the different feedbacks. And then I'm going to have John pick a particular topic on which he wants to discuss or comment, and we'll go from there. So here are in summation, the feedback points, if you will. First of all, why no love for Zane Trace and Huntington? Another one, after two looks, confidence level of Unioto up or down? Next one, Southeastern Westfall, gap closing. I guess there's probably a question mark there. Adina's early season schedule being the next one. The preview show lacked Shane's setter bias. that we all know and love so well. And finally, Piketon and PV make positive headlines in first week. That almost sounds like a John Bruce alliteration, title there, like we were going to do that. But okay, John, you're up, so to speak. You get to take us where you want to go. What topic of the feedbacks do you want to comment on?
I won't do this the entire time, but we're going to start at the top. After St. Trace and Huntington finished tied for third last season, why no love for St. Trace and Huntington in the preview show?
I honestly thought, it wasn't anything negative towards those programs. It was a respect of last year's seniors that graduated. I did make the comment that I thought it was hard to graduate the trio that each of those programs had graduated, not to mention a couple role players that go with them, and just simply reload and go and be as good as they were at the end of last year, here at the beginning of this year. Now, with that said, I think the biggest thing in terms of no love was simply more of an unknown roster. I'm not saying they won't be good. I mean, Zane Trace might beat Unioto tomorrow night, for all I know, as we record here on Monday night. Huntington's off to an undefeated start. They certainly have a lot of capabilities, but I think it's the unknown roster and some of the unknown kids. Now, here's the one thing I will say on the opening week. The known kids, your Allison Basie and Megan Steele, they've certainly had huge starts. Alyssa Steele stepping into the setting role has been good. Henneberger with passing, doing a nice job. And then, Shope and Morse and Hirsch and Thomas and Horner, and all these kids that have given Coach Begill some time here, certainly fitting into the rotation nicely. And then the report I ended up getting from Zay Trace was everybody's involved, and I guess so. As you get going and you start to look and break down the stat sheet, we knew about Bennett and Hill and Hill and Allen and some of those kids we mentioned, but we're starting to get to know a little bit more of the deeper roster. Betts coming in and doing some nice passing with Harbor there, and then May looks like is going to do some setting opposite of Bennett there and so forth. So I think it's an unknown roster already in week one. You get to know some names. I'm anxious to see these particular teams play. I know for sure within the next week and a half, but hopefully by the end of this week, I'll get a chance to see him in person. So I'd say unknown roster would be a lot to do with it. And I still think going in to the league season that it's a little uncertain on how to rank them.
John, where are we going to go for our feedback number two point?
I think we kind of discussed this last year also.
Okay.
And I think they've done it the last few years, but Adina's early season schedule or lack thereof, does it concern you for the Warriors' game preparedness as we start the first week of SEC play?
It does. Absolutely. I don't think it was last year, John. I think it was 2000. Gosh, I don't have that in front of me. 2017. I want to say they opened with Huntington and got beat. And it was a situation where I just thought it had a lot. John, this is a coach. We always talk about that improvement from game one to game two in any sport. Mm-hmm. I just think there's value. Now, I think in Adina's defense here, I think at the level of program they've established over the years, it's just a numbers thing. They want to go to Lehman Catholic. They want to go to Worthington. They play Bishop Reedy. And you get to your limit of matches, and that's just the way it goes. So I don't know that they have a whole lot they can do about it. But, yeah, to ask me if I'm concerned, absolutely. I think it's a huge factor when you open in league play, especially when the league rotations have you playing some of the top teams.
And being fairly young to start, too. I think if they had they're just loaded with seniors, maybe it's not a big deal. But, yeah, I can see that being a big, big worry to start.
Agree.
All right, John, number three, where you want to go?
So Shane, you've seen Unio two times. Is your confidence level with them up or down after those two matches?
John, you're right. I did get to see him twice. I went by design to Logan Elm the other night to watch, and then my schedule had me going Southeastern Courthouse, and there's a scheduling conflict mm-hmm. there. So last minute, my wife and I, we kind of got lucky in terms of getting to go to Chillicothe, and what an incredible atmosphere that was, and an incredible comeback. I guess to answer the question from the feedback here is, I think it's about the same. Obviously, the Chris Wheeler injury is terrible news. Received a text from her dad today. The surgery went well. Mm-hmm. The doctors are really optimistic. Maybe 4, 5, 6 months, depending on how that goes. You know, each kid's different. She's young. She's athletic. I'm sure she'll fight back. But as far as what that does to the group, I guess I feel a lot of the same based on what I said last week. I still see a roster with 7 kids that I highlighted last week with Emily Coleman and Holly Pinkerton and Amber Cottrell. You know, it's that basketball backcourt, right? That's mm-hmm. They've done a lot of winning in a couple different sports, and you could just see it down 2-0 the other night. They're just so relentless in the way they compete. I think Ava Eldridge gives them stability and depth at that setter position. Pierce and Stalley in the hitting. I think Pierce does such a good job of recognizing her limitations, her volleyball IQ there at the net, the way she can pick and choose her spots. And then Stalley, just nice size and athleticism. Alexis Miller gives good experience in the back row and some different things. So then you throw in a Viney and a Paul and what McGlone and Coleman as young kids bring. And I just feel like you're kind of back where you started at the end of last year. You still have those 7 kids back. You still have 3 or 4 kids coming up. So look, I don't know if they're going to win the league or not, but I stand by what I said last week. How in the world can they not be the favorite? I still had Uniota PR people trying to tell me this week, like, well, you saw the other night. I saw the other night is you go into an atmosphere against a really good team, lose a kid 2 plays in, get down 2-0, and come back and win.
Yeah,
is what I saw. You know what I mean? It's just you, after a while they just out athlete you, and it's. I just think that they're gonna be tough to beat in the best of 5 in the league.
That must have been some kind of game out there, Shane. I was trying to follow that with you, and it was just – I was sitting on my seat here. I didn't know whether it was on the radio or not. I was just following through Twitter, so must have been really good. Guys, our feedback tonight brought to us by Advanced Services. Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. You can find them on the web at advancedservicesHVAC.com. Give them a call, 877-947-4499. Celebrating 20 years of serving Southern Ohio. Schedule a consultation today on their website. We continue now with a look at our volleyball responses here and so forth. John, we've got 3 to go. We've got time available. What do you want to hear Shane pontificate on now?
All right, so usually you just talk all about setters. What was up with the lack of setter bias on the preview show?
Well, what's funny about this is I get going on some of these things, and I certainly have a passionate opinion. Bruce is keeping me on the time frame tonight so we can try to get to all the things. So I'll try my best to stay as short as possible to get through them all. But, I'm trying. I honestly have tried to have an open mind this year, but it's hard. It's one of those things that as I learned the game of volleyball about, 12, 13, 14 years ago, it's just the setter positions where the eyes kind of start for me. Again, that point guard background and so forth in terms of how you're talking about the organization it brings. And a lot of teams are going to the 6-2 this year, and some teams are even using some crazy rotations with some mixture of 4-2, 6-2, 5-1. Just a lot of inconsistencies what I see early on, and I think you have a lot of new pieces and rotations and so forth. To my knowledge right now, I think Alyssa Steele at Huntington and Avery McFadden at Paint Valley are probably the only true 5-1 all the way around setters. I just think it organizes the attack, but an elite player touching the ball every possession. John, our basketball background, we want to get touches. Mm-hmm. If football play caller, I'm sure they have an idea of how many touches they want to give someone on a Friday night. It's that same type of thing in volleyball. And, gosh, passing and hitting is crazy important. I mean, we know how important passing is. It starts the whole possession. But, we do honor that. We have a defensive player of the year and so forth. And obviously hitting probably gets more of the publicity than anything. But, I have. I've had a setter bias over the years. I would say a lot of last week, me not talking about as much probably had to do with the way the league is kind of in a little cycle right now where they're reloading a little bit in the setter positions right in the heart of that.
Yeah, we're waiting for point guard bias to come up as well. That'll probably be beginning of December or so before we hear that again. But I'm thinking about getting a little like gong or something, and every time he mentions setter from now on, the rest of the season, we'll just ring that chime or something. We probably haven't want time for one more, guys. We got Southeastern West Falls gap closing, or Piketon and PV make positive headlines in the first week. John, what will it be?
Let's finish with some positivity. We can go on the Southeastern Westfall gap closing next week.
Okay.
But Piketon, Paint Valley make positive headlines in the first week. Shane, what do you have to say about it?
Well, I think one positive is it's good to see Elena Lytle coaching. Yes. Josh, I just spoke of the last 12 to 15 years when it comes to passing the volleyball. There hasn't been anybody better, in my opinion, at doing that than her, and the passion that she competes with and so forth. I know she'll bring that to that program, and it'll take time, but she'll certainly do that. She has some nice kids down there, some nice athletes, and we highlighted some of them last week on the show. And then on the Paint Valley side, you know, Paint Valley last year, I want to say 9-2 in the non-league. They're off to that same start this year. Got beat by a good Vinton County team, much improved Vinton County team. They're 2-1 right now. They're playing at Lynchburg Clay as I speak. So hopefully a good report comes back there tonight. Get them to 3-1. They did lose Chapman to a concussion right now, but you know, hopefully she'll be back within the 7 to 10 day protocol and everything will go well. But Olivia Smith had a great opening week. She's been really, really good, and she kind of highlights a list of young athletes there that can do a nice job, but Olivia's really had a nice week, so hopefully they stick with it. And you're exactly right about Southeastern Westfall. They play this week, and you know, I thought we talked about those teams this week, so I think that'll be a good thing that we could probably move to next week. We'll know a little bit more.
Yeah, see, he did it anyway. He got in those six topics just a little bit. I'm not surprised. Guys, all the preseason football's been played, and this week we will start keeping score. Up next, we look at why football is so popular and put the final touches on preseason before week one. As we take a look at the inbox, it is brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic. North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming, 740-773-7387. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. You can look them up on the web, www.northforkanimalclinic.com. Taking us to the inbox, this was what we received in the email this week. I don't know where you got this font to put it on the agenda, Shane, but I really like this font, by the way. It's in red.
I think it's just the font out of the inbox there, okay.
I like that. It sort of looks like it should be on an Old West poster or something like that. But anyway, I digress. Here's the email. This is a question for the guys on SVC Sports Talk. Why do you think football is so popular? It seems like more fans attend games and are more passionate about football Friday nights than any other sport. I guess this is a case in college and NFL as well. Thoughts? Thanks. Wow. So I guess, guys, where do you go with this? First, I as I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, is football popular? Is it more popular than it used to be? Is it less popular? Where do you stand on that?
I think it's still just as popular. A lot of the games on Friday nights are packed. I went out to Edina to watch a little bit of their scrimmage against Fisher Catholic last weekend, and you would have thought that it was a game.
Yeah.
With the people at the scrimmage. To me, it's a sport that you've grown up watching. It's the ultimate team sport, because if you only got 10 of your 11 guys doing what they're supposed to do on a play, you may not have success. So it's not like in, we'll say, basketball, where someone can make an individual play.
Excuse me.
And you know, obviously, individual plays still happen in football, but
yeah.
I do think that it's so important for everybody on the field to be on the same page that you had success. And then here, this is something else I wanted to throw out there, and it's not to talk down on football at all, but it's a fairly simple concept. One team tries to score, the other team tries to stop them. And it's just it's something that I think when you're smaller, you can kind of understand, and I think that helps.
I see. Shane, do you think football's as popular or more popular than it used to be?
Well, it kind of goes into a numbers thing, first of all. The first thing I thought of on this is just some logistics stuff in terms of the rosters are bigger.
Yeah.
You know, you have the bands, you have cheerleaders, you have a lot of different people involved in terms of family and friends. Mm-hmm. So, but then now when you get beyond just a numbers thing and you start to ask me, is it popular? I think some of the characteristics that make football so popular still exist today. It's a social event.
Right.
It's the tailgating. It's only once per week.
Right.
You know, I always think of you, Bruce. You always like to have SVC Sports Talk ready at the exact time, like a night like tonight where we're recording on a Monday and it's not quite up at 7. I know that bothers you. You know what I mean? It's one of those you're very – you want this, and this. Well, football's that way, right? It's that organization piece. Like, hey, when's football team play this week? Oh, they play Friday at 7.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those Friday, things. Yeah. It's not a – do they have a Tuesday game, Thursday game, Saturday? Is it a daytime? Is it a start during the day? Is it night? Whatever it might be. The same way some of these other sports get confusing. So I think it's as popular as ever. I will say this, that sometimes as the football starts to creep to a Monday night or a Saturday night or a Thursday night or whatever it might be, you know, at college, NFL, high school level, sometimes you wonder just a little bit of that teaser there is really good. Like, I know for me, I'm excited that there's Thursday and Saturday night games in high school, but how do other people feel about that are the average fans?
Yeah.
I don't know. So to me, I think what happens is football is very unique because it's first, it's in the fall. It's the one time a week where basketball, if you're a basketball fan following boys and girls, to really be a hardcore fan, you may have to be in the gym 4, 5, 6 times a week. So, I think that's where the popularity is still as big as ever, is because of the way those features have been able to stay in place, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it depends on how well your team has done, your program has done. I think it's, as you mentioned, the first, you know, it's the first chance to do something after school starts, you know. It's the first athletic event right after school starts, typically, that's big. I think there's no question that, you know, get more people at a ball game just because of the numbers of roles that they fill. You know, like you mentioned, the band, you know, boosters, you've got the athletic program, you've got the teams, you've got the cheerleaders, you've got everybody. So it's a big event. I really do. Now let's ask, are people more passionate about football than any other sport? There seems to be an implication here in the email that this person thinks they are.
John, I'll jump in here and say, I think it kind of goes back to what I said. I think a lot of it is the social aspect. I think there's a lot of people that enjoy tailgating on a Saturday afternoon or getting together to watch an Ohio State game that maybe not be able to name 10 people that play for Ohio State. You know what I mean, it's just like, oh, the game on Saturday, like who they play. They could play Florida Atlantic or Indiana or Illinois or whoever, and it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, hey, the game, let's get some pizza and let's hang out together, whatever. Same way at the high school level. I think it's on a Friday night. It's something fun to do. You know, John mentioned the other night how many people were there. Well, Bruce, you kind of made a great point. It's the fall. It's the first thing. We're back to school. Hey, let's go to the football game. Hey, let's go see the scrimmage. So I just feel like that social aspect, don't get me wrong, the game is incredible, and as a fan, I love it, but I just think the true popularity goes way beyond the X's and O's or the schemes or the scoreboard, and there's something about football and getting a football Friday night under the lights and starting that weekend that it just kind of gives them a monopoly on the sports world, so to speak.
John, any thoughts about passion?
I can't really argue that. I do think that I think the nature of the game itself possibly leads the fans to being more vocal during it, mm-hmm. With the hard hits and you know, different, you know, there's a lot of different spectacular plays that can happen. You might be able to hear the crowd more and more because of how the sport is. And I think that may lead to the way it sounds and more passionate, but also it's, you know, it's 4 to 6 seconds per play. You know, you can, and then you have a good bit of time in between plays. You can, you know, you have a lot of time where, you know, you can
socialize,
build it back. Yeah. It socialize and then build it back up, mm-hmm. build that energy back up until the next play. And then the next play happens and, oh, you let it all out and then, you know, socialize, and then here it comes again. And I think it's the nature of the game. It's an awesome game, and I think it really fits in well to make it a possibly the most passionate game there is.
Okay, go ahead, Shane.
Well, Bruce, real quick, do you feel though there's something to I only have to really commit my time 10 times a year, and if I'm only going to the home games maybe 5 times a year, compared to, you know, baseball is, and we kind of talk about this in pace of play later, it's a slower sport, it's mm-hmm. every day, yeah. You know, it's just like me as a sports nut, I will follow the Reds 160, I don't know why, but I will follow them for 162 times,
right,
all year, either by radio or by TV or by, you know, whatever, you know, whereas in football, you know, the NFL schedule's just 16. College is only, what, 10, 11, 12, depending on the team. And then, you know, high school, it's 10 times. It's usually Friday night, 10 straight weeks, and that's it. I mean, don't you feel like there's something to that in terms of it's almost an easier commitment, so to speak?
It is, and I think that would make it easier to be more passionate about. You don't get as tired. It seems the season is, for most teams, 10 weeks long, maybe 12, 13 weeks or something like that by the end of the playoffs and so forth. And by if that occurs, it's easier, you know, it's you're in the playoffs. So I really do think that, you know, you've got 10 events. If you just go to the home games, you've got 5. And it makes it easier. It's always Friday night. Hey, guess what? That's the weekend. That's when we're most apt to probably be a little bit more passionate about things than on Monday. You know, if it were Monday morning, let's say that's when we played football games, we'd all be kind of in the dumps, I think, a little bit about them. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, the structure and so forth. And that was a good question. I really, really kind of enjoyed that, and it was thought-provoking for me anyway, and I apologize if I gave anybody any kind of scare there when I asked John if he wanted to talk about passion or not before we go into that. Well, Shane, I know Friday night you were watching ZT. What do you think you learned as a result of that?
I learned that they're capable.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted out that a lot of people around the league had given me a fifth place prediction, and gosh, maybe that's right. But if that is right, then the league's really good. I mean, John, we talked about Paint Valley Uniota last week. We talked that we thought Adina was really good. We know Southeastern led by Ruby is going to be really good. But gosh, if that's a fifth place team, the league's got some depth to it. I thought Shanton was really capable. They run the ball well. Our boy Cougar, remember from last year? John, when we met, outstanding family there, Cougar Starver, that kid runs hard. I mean, he's nice. They have a lot of tall pass catchers. They go about 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", at several spots on tight end. And when they flank out a little bit with Edler and Robinson and some other guys there. So they just – we know they're going to be rock solid in the kicking game. I guess the two keys that jump out to me would be health. This has been a program that's had a hard time staying healthy. Mm-hmm. The last couple years. And then unforced errors is something I had in my notes, John, because I think this offense is going to be the type of offense that was going to be really hard to play against if they don't mess up. Because I think that they've got the type of short pass passing game and some of the athletes and runners and so forth, they can just grind you, I think, on some 11, 12, 13 play drives. But we know in high school football, it's just hard to do that and not have that false start or not have that hold or not have that fumble or not have that, you know, this is an offense that must stay on script. But if they do, I'm telling you, they have athletes, they can move the ball, and we know that they can capitalize in the kicking game with some three, even when, you know, the six or seven's not available to them. So, I like, you know, I even tweeted out about the mushrooms. Those were outstanding the other night at Things Raised. So we always know the Friday night, you can always get your food feedback as well as I go around to the different places. But
I think we should start that as a feature, like off to the side. I'll work on that something, and then we'll ask you next week what you had this coming Friday night.
This week it gets to be Thursday and Friday night.
Okay, so you'll have to pick. We can't just take up the entire show talking about food. We're gonna have to start another podcast or something. Football food with Shane Combs.
Of an SBC appetizer sampler, kind of sampler platter, to where so far we know on the left side of the plate over here we have the Zane Trace mushrooms.
Okay, ZT mushrooms. What sauces did you have?
I just use a basic ranch. I'm kind of sissy when it comes to sauces.
No blue cheese dressing.
Okay. Keep it basic.
I'm not surprised. Okay. And John, as we've talked about, we're entering the first regular week. What do you believe is the biggest fear for SVC coaches out there?
I mean, first, Shane, you kind of mentioned it with Zane Trace, is health. If you can keep your kids healthy all year, you know, you're probably in for a pretty good year. Because typically I feel like whenever we see a team start to really struggle, it tends to be because of the health issue. I also think how prepared teams are, because I mean, quarterbacks honestly don't really get hit. Don't really get tackled even when they're running. In these scrimmages, the continuous plays through, I texted you, Shane, the other day. The Fisher Catholic team, they spent like 2 minutes getting prepared for each play. That doesn't happen in the game. So, you know, how prepared are the teams? I think that's a big thing, because in any other sport you can really see how the game's going to play out. But football, it's with, you know, not that big of rosters, and with being kids, I mean, injuries happen. So you want to be as smart as possible. So that's why I think kids aren't necessarily always prepared for week one. And I think that's why a lot of injuries happen, and a lot of it can be kind of sloppy play. But I think the preparedness will be a big thing, and how a quarterback – we'll probably deal with being hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, what's interesting there real quick too, Bruce, is, you know, John, I think play calling is so different in the preseason because of injury. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the nature of the sport. I'm not going to go watch Cougar carry the ball 30 times the other night in a scrimmage. You know what I'm saying? But it's one of those things come week one. So it's like you're saying, if you want to put a basketball player out there and get he or she playing close to 30, 31, 32 minutes, you can do that. Injury is always a part of sports, but you don't fear the injury in that situation, where I assume in football, like you said, there's only so much hitting you can do or so much, you know, contact you can do early on because of the fear of that. You see all the way up into the NFL level. And I think that's a great point going into week one, you know, contact, fumbling, ball security, so forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, last week we mentioned over 100 kids by name, past and present SVC kids, on the show. And I wanted to ask either of you, who did you forget to mention but you feel could play a huge role in football league this year? John, we'll go to you first.
I mentioned Juniota's offensive line, but I didn't really mention, you know, by names. Right. Dalton Ford's a 4-year starter. That dude's a monster. Mm-hmm. He's started on both sides of the ball. Carter Weiskopf, another kid who will be a 4-year starter, only a junior. You know, it's Logan Shanton, or Stanton, another one of those outstanding kids up front for them. You know, different linemen across the league, Adina's, Ethan Hurt, just different guys that can really play. Throughout the year, I'll probably highlight them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I do think linemen are one of the things that are, you know, not, you know, notice as much. They don't get as much publicity as individuals. They get it as a whole. But I'd like to see them get, you know, because they work just as hard as everyone else.
Sure.
And that's where, like you mentioned it, Shane, how, you know, with Jamarcus, he wanted to make sure to mention his teammates. Like, you know, these really good, the guys who get to score, get to make the big plays, they know. And they make sure, like, you see some of these guys when they score, first thing they do is they run to a lineman.
Right.
Like, these guys know. They appreciate it. I just like to see them get pointed out a little bit more. You mentioned the Robinson and Edler kids out at St. Trace. They've got some crazy athletic kids coming. That one thing that could be for them is just being young at some of these different positions. But, man, I've seen those guys in basketball and baseball, and whew. It's not going to be fun to get hit by some of those guys.
No doubt.
Shane, anyone that you wanted to kind of give a shout out to that you thought would play a huge role in football that we didn't mention last week?
I'll be honest. I don't remember who we said, who we didn't, because right. we did say so many. I do know I talked to some people that were giving me some Piketon information, the Gallian kid. Healthy and their quarterback, very talented. That sounds like they had a very successful half in their Jamboree game. I mentioned, just like John, I mentioned the Payne Valley offensive line. I think I mentioned John Alley. I don't know if I mentioned Mills and Smith and Fowler and Hill and the younger Alley Isaac there. And then Dev Spradlin will throw in some time this year too. And so that's there. I can't remember for Adina if we mentioned Dalton Metzger. Garrett Clark in the kicking game, Carson Long, Jaden Hammond up at Westfall would mm-hmm. be back at wide receiver. Yeah. I thought he was very talented. They had some now Westfall is a school that I haven't had a lot of information in terms of personnel. I've had people talk about the program as a whole and how they feel like the weight room's been pretty well attended, and they feel like they could be a sleeper in all this, but I haven't been able to get a lot of names. It's been kind of more of a unit, which is understandable, and that's fine. Those are the names, and we'll get more and more as the rosters get in front. I apologize on that, guys. The other night at Zane Trace, I didn't have a roster, so I was trying to go off of memory, and then what happens is certain guys graduate, so certain kids change their number, and, you know, so hopefully once we get organized ourselves here with some rosters and so forth, we'll be able to better inform the fans on who's doing what.
You didn't have a PA mm-hmm. guy either, did you?
No. Huh. No Bruce Knox, for sure.
Well, thank you very much. We'll see how that goes next week, next Friday. Guys, up next, we talk about how some sports are having trouble keeping up the pace it takes to keep the attention of the world today.
It was a night, oh, what a night. It was, really was such a night.
Okay, that's my man crush. I'm sorry, guys. I had to play some Michael Bublé. This section brought to us by the guys out at Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Give them a call. Give Kevin a call. Give them all a call, 740-986-4653. And you can look up detailed information on the web, crownhillgolfclub.com. Not too early to start thinking about holiday parties and the facilities they have out there. So give Kevin or one of them a call and talk to them. They've got some really good facilities out there. We're getting into golf, gentlemen. Golf. And, we want to talk about our fan question for golf. John, you want to pick up on this?
Yeah, Shane, speaking of Crown Hill, you know, what was your response to the first SBC golf match?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I know we have a busy agenda, and we certainly don't want to forget to highlight the actual performances and kids. Uniota, you know, coming back and winning that. Python had posted some pretty good scores earlier in the week, and you knew that some of the Westfall kids would play well at home, and probably a couple of them didn't play where they hoped to, but you know, they had Latham there at 44, and it kind of dropped them. They probably thought more of competing in that three-hole, drop to five. But at the top there, it's Uniota at 173, led by Schoblock, of course, at 39, which is a pretty solid score there at Crown Hill. But Rickendaller of Southeastern, 41, and then Forkham of Zane Trace, 41. And then you go on down the list there. We have all those Armstrong and Gerber and Endicott, and I mentioned Latham and Platt. So there's some kids there that we're getting to know in that sport as well, because it was hit so hard by graduation. So it's early. You know, Uniota gets that first win. It'll just it'll be intriguing to me to see if they can get pushed at some different places. They'll be at Dogwood. I believe that's tomorrow night. And my take on that probably is, over the course of the entire year, Uniota will probably be tough to beat. But I could see on some given nights here, as I see some of these scores, some of these schools are just maybe one kid, two kids away from, you know, maybe making a few putts here or there. The standings are pretty tight there, honestly, in terms of some of the standings. They're in the top five for sure.
All right, gentlemen. Appreciate the update there on the SVC match. Now we want to get into some fan feedback about big PGA topic, wanting to know about pace of play. Shane, you want to take it from there at the high school level?
This is something that's been talked about a lot. You'll hear Brooks Koepka and some other guys on the PGA talk about pace of play. And this has come down into the high school, where people have asked me, how much of an impact is this in the growth of the game from junior high to high school and so forth? And, you know, so it's just something real intriguing. And I had a chance to have breakfast with Kevin there before school started. And we talked a lot of golf and a lot of different things. And we never really talked exactly about pace of play, but it was really neat to me to talk perspective with him, because he's such a more of a high level golfer than me. Now, obviously he works with people of all ability groups, but some of the things he was saying that, you know, you could tell was more of a high level of thinking. And I guess to me, I want people to understand that pace of play talks about a lot of different things here. If you take someone that shoots 36, someone that shoots 46, someone that shoots 56, it's probably going to take the guy shooting 56 longer to hit his or her golf ball 56 times than it is the guy to take, you know, 36. So a lot of it's ability, first of all, in terms of how long. When we think of pace of play, or how long. But I don't see pace of play as necessarily how long the total round lasts. I know that's kind of the data point that we end up getting stuck on. But to me, pace of play is the flow of the round throughout. And I think it's, you know, a lot of things against high school come down to manpower in terms of volunteer help and a lot of different things. Is some of these courses, John, you get the blind tee shots and you get different things, or you get the thick rough, or you get a lot of, in terms of how quickly do you find your ball? Mm-hmm. How quickly can you calculate the yardage? What are you hitting? There's just so much that goes into it. But then what happens with the better golfers is, you know, they're going to grind out putts. You know, in casual play, I'm guilty of giving myself a lot of putts, but a lot of that comes down to, has nothing to do with the score. I tell people all the time, hey, I kind of play at about a 13.5-14 handicap. I'm probably closer to about a 15-16 if I were in competition play. But honestly, outside of scrambles, I don't really play competition golf. For me, it's more of a casual go out with my buddies. Now, if I'm playing with someone who wants to put everything out, that's fine too. But I don't want to be out there 5-6 hours. I want to go out. I'm the type of person that moves really quick from cart to ball and from green to cart and so forth. I probably take too long over top of the ball sometimes because I'm not very good, and I probably get too many things going on in my head over top of the ball. But that's just that's some of the things. I think a lot of it has to do at the high school level about the difference between a Ty Schoblock and Endicott and Latham and some of these guys at the top of the league compared and Rickendaller, Southeastern, and so forth, compared to some of the people that are just starting to play, or especially when you get down in the junior high and you're getting kids just introduced to it, you know, there's just little things they're learning about where to put their bag and how to organize their club and how to kind of take their putter with them when they go to chip and so that they can kind of go. They've certainly addressed rules, but you know, I don't know, John, I don't want to cut you off of the golf topic, but where I want to take this too is we get feedback from Kevin, from some of our golf people. I also want to get your take. I would like to see you move this into other sports. How much do you think pace of play, you know, for a high school golfer, for a high school baseball player, you know, for a soccer player, in terms of the length of games or how long it takes or the tempo, soccer, I've always felt like at least once it starts, it goes.
Right.
How much do you think pace of play impacts the fan involvement? We talked about passion earlier. I don't know. Just your thoughts on pace of play in high school sports in general.
Well, if you look at pace of play in baseball, I mean, you can go to Major League Baseball about that, because that's part of the issue, you know, they're talking about with Major League Baseball is pace of play. And, you know, it doesn't bother us because, you know, we know and love the game and we know that we're going to be there three and a half hours for these Major League games. So it's not that big of a deal. But in high school, we don't have lights. So we can't be taking forever in between each pitch. If a kid's not throwing strikes, the pace of play is going to slow way down. Mm-hmm. We had a kid up at West Falls, Zach Wolf, who might have been my favorite person I've ever coached, because like I feel like his games lasted maybe an hour because he got the ball and went. And it helped that he was throwing strikes, but
that he was throwing about 85 too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously he was really good, but at the same time, it's like he knew what he was going to do. He was getting, you know, sure, at a fast pace, and I think that I don't want to get on officials, you know, on pace of play or anything, but I think officials can have a big impact on pace of play, because if in baseball you're allowing a team that just came out the field to meet outside the dugout for a minute and a half each time to where the pitcher's standing there waiting for the batter to come out and mm-hmm. start swinging. One thing that really does bother me about, you know, a pace of play thing in baseball is hustling on and off the field. Cause I mean, if you're hustling back on the field, you should be able to go as soon as the pitcher's ready. But if you're just walking out slow, then it's just that drives me nuts. But I think pace of play could be definitely impact people's enjoyment of the games, because I mean, like I mentioned with baseball, we don't really care. It's not that big of a deal. But if a game's going 2.5-3 hours in high school of 7 innings, then it's
I think fans do. Would you agree with that? Like, yeah, we love it. We're the wrong NASCAR. Like I was having conversation. Right. On our hashtag SVC Sports Talk on Twitter, yeah, and Austin Ward had given some great feedback here, talking about how, you know, he doesn't know that there's any things you can drastically do to spike interest. It's just kind of the way you play the game. I mean, it's, you know, in golf we play 9 holes. You're not going to take off sprinting up the fairway. You would like to see you walk with some pace, but the nature of that game isn't to sprint. You know what I mean? It's right. One of those things that, you know, in baseball. Are we going to stop throwing over when the fast leadoff hitter gets on, you know, and just, you know, let him take an extra step and a half in his lead? I don't know. I think, Brad Moore's comments on here, Austin Ward comments on here, again, use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk on Twitter, and we'd love to have some further discussion with this. But I guess that's where I'm coming from on these things is it hurting the game? Is it hurting our fan involvement? I don't know. I know when volleyball went to rally scoring, mm-hmm. the pace of that game, they've even tweaked their rules a little bit I don't want to say take some of the skill out, but they certainly went a little looser in terms of letting the action go on some of the double hits and some of the different things mm-hmm. in serve receive. And as a result, I think it'd be hard to argue that volleyball has probably grown in the high school game more in the last decade than any high school sport in terms of growth. So to me, there's some things to look at there that would go. You know, we mentioned soccer. A lot of times to someone who doesn't know soccer as well, it's a really long sport. But I'm the first to admit, when I sat down with you last year and watched a high-level soccer game, or match, it was something that was very intriguing because it never stopped. You know, there wasn't 17 timeouts called in a first quarter of a particular sport. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, that, so that was intriguing to me. And I guess that's what the thing with football is sometimes it's the tempo of that can really draw out. But yeah, the fact that, again, it's only 10 times a year, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Bite of your mushroom. You know, I mean, the other night, Shane, whatever it is. So I think there's just so many factors here. This is a great discussion.
Shane, are you aware that there's new play clock regulations for Ohio football this year? The 40-second clock is now kind of replacing, in some respects, the 25-second clock. I was out last week to meet with your brother at Benton County's high school, and we were talking about it's always a challenge to get somebody to run the 25-second clocks when the referees may not want to do it. We were talking about that, and what now there's 40 seconds between the time a ball is downed, the play stops, and the next play begins for the most part. And there are sometimes, though, when the 25, if there's a penalty, it stops the clock. The 25-second clock starts after the penalty is marked off. So there are times when you're going to be 40 seconds between complete plays and 25 seconds between complete plays. And I think that's designed to speed it up even further than it was.
Speed it up, less plays, less injuries. You think that's where they're coming from?
I do. I really do. I think there's a lot of thinking that went into this. But can you imagine, I mean, there's going to be, I think, some delay of games called, particularly in the first couple weeks while everyone gets ready for this, because lots of times there's more than 40 seconds between the time one play is over and the next play, you know, is actually run. So I just thought of that. That was interesting. And then we're always talking.
I think tempo. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we're always talking about the play clock in basketball. It would not necessarily affect the length of the game, I don't think, but it might affect the flow of the game. Right? I mean, it's
I don't think there's any. It's a tempo thing. That's right. What I was going to say, John. When I think of Zane Trace, I watched the other night, or I think of Coach Gallagher, what he's done at Southeastern. You know, if I'm going against the Uniota Paint Valley this year, Why wouldn't I want to grind the play clock? Why wouldn't I want to run it 3, 4, 5 yards at a time and see if, you know, I can keep Bryce Newland over there on the sideline for an hour? You know what I mean? It's one of those things that, you know, it's a tempo thing. And I guess that's the thing that baseball and golf are fighting, is there's no clock to keep it moving along. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they say that there's a particular time that, you know, you have to hit your ball once you arrive there. And, you know, you'll see that called once a month in the PGA Tour or whatever, either on the clock or whatever. But, like, there's no real clock that keeps a golfer moving. There's no real clock that keeps a baseball player moving. Again, this pitch clock thing that they're trying or whatever. I asked my wife about it because she's someone who, you know, she loves Paint Valley baseball, but she's not a big baseball fan. And she talked about how she thought they were on to something. It's annoying to see them get out of the box and take a half hour in between pitches. But she talked about how she thought they were on to something with the rule, but they didn't enforce it. Mm-hmm. And, John, we know that to be true. You know what I mean? How many times your kid gets out of the box now and then they have these wristbands and they call out three numbers and they look down there and they're, you know, it's like they're searching through a filing cabinet. You know what I mean? They're trying to find, you know, so – There's just a lot of things that are real intriguing in this discussion, and the pace of play started with a golf conversation, and I really want to get more golf feedback on it, but I think that in golf we're looking at a thing too where more and more golf courses are closing. So what's that mean to the golf courses we have? They're becoming more and more crowded. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's one of those things where just our casual people, as we grow the game, going out, you know, you get a twosome here, a foursome here, and then one person out walking just for some exercise that day, and you get a crowded section on your golf course. Some of these courses that are only 9 holes especially. So These are all things that I would love to get feedback. We'll keep the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. And on that SVC Sports Talk, the sports uses the capital S. I know some of those hashtags are case sensitive even. So, using that, that's really good stuff.
I was going to provide the contact information here for you two gentlemen. First, for Shane, you can reach him on email at admin1@svcsportszone.com. On Twitter, as he mentioned, we use the hashtag, and his handle there is @svcsportszone. On Facebook, he maintains two profiles, one being for the svcsportszone.com. That one is sort of the organization. And then his personal one is Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone on Facebook. John has an email of jbruce1018@yahoo.com. And of course his Twitter handle, which very popular. All the ladies like this. @coconutwallpapa.com. Or no, just @coconutwallpapa. Yeah.
That might be coming soon.
I think you should start a website. Maybe I'll help you.
I'll consider it.
Okay.
give the fans what they want.
Okay.
Well, see, if I did that, it would be so all over the place that I think people might come to it one week and be like, oh, I really like this. This is good information. And then the next week be like, what is this guy talking about?
I think the world's ready for it, John. That's how most people think anymore. If you make them think about anything for longer than a minute, you've really, really accomplished something. I mean, you know, this is a Mickey D type of world anymore. We stand in front of our microwaves and wait for our water to boil, and we get, upset with that.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to mention, too, that we have the DBK Media Services phone line where you can leave a message for us. We'll get it to the guys, 740-569-3254. And if you could share our posts on Facebook and Twitter about our episodes, we'd really appreciate it, and give us a great rating, hopefully, and a good review on iTunes. That's what we kind of like. Shane, what else you got there for us?
Well, I not a lot of soccer, tennis, cross country. I know the weather's kind of washed out a little bit of some action here early in this week. But, I would encourage fans to follow John. Again, that SVC, hashtag SVC Sports Talk. Soccer coverage is unmatched, does a great job. Cross country, I have things up on the website. As we talked about, that coverage will grow more and more as we get into the year. And those particular kids running, I know we had a really busy Saturday after last week. We had the Huntington girls winning the Waverly invite. I know Wellston invite had runners from the SVC. Pickerton cross country invite had some high level. Unioto was in action at the Hartford Twilight. So some really high level early year matchups there that you can check out. So John, before we get out of here, any comments that we missed, any comments on those particular things? We'll obviously talk about Sylvia Gray and the Lady Shermans and some of the cross country runners, and then obviously your soccer coverage throughout the year.
Yeah, I would just say, just make sure you follow along for any soccer coverage if you're interested. I'm trying to get out and watch every team early in the season. Tonight, Monday, this is something that kind of grinds my gears, but I was hoping to get out and watch Piketon at Unioto girls soccer, but it got canceled because it rained.
I was going to ask you about that. Bruce, I know we're against the clock, but I have to ask.
That's okay.
I understand lightning. I guess I don't totally understand the soccer and rain because I don't have a background. Instead of me commenting on that, I want to ask, is that normal?
No, not at all. I want to say my senior year, we would have played like four games if you weren't able to play in rain. Now, my guess is probably has something to do with the fact that Unita has a grass field with all those teams that play on it. They don't want to destroy it in the first week of the season or second week, whatever. That would be my guess, but I was very surprised by that. But you have plenty of time to make it up. It's just a definitely threw me for a loop on that, because normally you just play through it because it's just kind of one of those games you play in the elements.
Well, I tell you, it's been a long week. But guys, before we get out of here, I want to take this platform as a personal moment. Maybe you saw on Facebook, my brother put it out. I shared it yesterday, Sunday. My dad, Wendell Combs, who a lot of people around the SVC land know really, really well. He's done, 25, 30 years of coaching there at Uniota, and he retired from that. Yesterday, he retired from pastoring. And, he'll obviously still preach here and there a little bit, but as he steps away from being a pastor, we were calculating somewhere around the 45 to 50 year mark. And if you look at the sermons per week and different things, we were somewhere around 6, 7, maybe even 8,000 different sermons, that he's preached during that career. Just so happy for him and very thankful for the way I was raised and for the different things in church and for dad to do that. I wanted to kind of take a personal moment and give him a shout out there. John, I know you've known my dad and so forth as well. And so just really, really happy for him. And I wanted to, kind of let a lot of people out there, played for dad or competed against dad and so forth. So in the SVC Nation, I wanted to kind of give that shout out. So I appreciate the opportunity to do that. So guys, on that note, long show, appreciate you hanging in there. Bruce, check out the DBK Media. And John, I always appreciate your efforts as well. And obviously, thanks to all of our sponsors and all that they do. So, guys, we'll go ahead and close it out. SVC fans, make sure you're on the website. We're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.